On Saturday, January 29th, Mubarak went on television to announce that he was sacking the government of Prime Minister Ahmed Nazif and appointing a new government. He also announced the appointment of General Omar Suleiman as Vice President, the first time in Mubarak's 30-year rule. The new government he announced was to be headed by Ahmed Shafiq, another retired Air Force general like Mubarak himself. Other people included Mahmoud Waghdi as Interior Minister. He too is a former general and former head of Egypt's dreaded prisons. Waghdi replaced Habib al-Adli, another hated figure of the Mubarak's regime. The change of faces in government, however, did not satisfy the people demonstrating in the streets, whose numbers continued to swell with each passing day. On February 2nd, the regime unleashed its thugs on peaceful demonstrators in Tahrir Square. Riot police dressed as civilians and thousands of criminals released from prisons armed with swords, whips, machetes, and guns attacked the protesters. At least 350 riot policemen in plain clothes were captured by the demonstrators and their ID cards confiscated. These were handed over to the military to be dealt with. The regime's plan to intimidate peaceful demonstrators by attacking them failed. The police also crushed to death several demonstrators by plying their armored personnel carriers into them. Others were fired upon by sharpshooters stationed on top of buildings. The regime's plan not only failed, it backfired as more people joined rallies the following Friday. Thousands also camped out in Tahrir Square that began to take on the look of a festival. Fearing this massive uprising of people, on February 5th, Omar Suleiman invited all opposition groups, including representatives from the Muslim Brotherhood and the youth, to a meeting to discuss what he termed were concessions the regime would offer. These fell far short of even the minimum demands of the people. A spokesman for the Muslim Brotherhood, Isam Al-Aryan, said the regime was merely playing games. It gradually became clear that Mubarak had lost touch with reality, and it was at this point that the military decided that it had to abandon him if they had to preserve the status quo of the system in Egypt. On Thursday, February 10th, the military high council met in the morning, the meeting being chaired by Field Marshal Mohammed Tantawi, who is also Egypt's defense minister. After the meeting, the military council issued a statement saying it supported the people's legitimate demands. This was seen as a sign that the military was distancing itself from Mubarak, leading to speculation that the old, aged, and long-standing president would be forced to resign. The military high council tasked Field Marshal Tantawi to tell Mubarak to resign. As a Mubarak protege, Tantawi could not muster the courage to tell Mubarak to go. Instead, their meeting, at which Suleiman and Gamal were also present, lasted nearly 6 hours, and Mubarak merely agreed to pass on some of his responsibilities to Vice President Suleiman. Late that evening, there was great excitement among the people in Tahrir Square in anticipation of Mubarak's resignation. When Mubarak spoke on television that evening, he sounded delusional. He talked about his great contributions to Egypt and vowed to continue to serve as president till September, saying the country would descend into chaos without him, and he insisted he would stay to see the next round of presidential elections. The protesters in Tahrir Square were extremely disappointed and angry. Next morning, that is Friday, February the 11th, the military high command issued a communique urging people to go home, and they also said that the army would not allow any more protests. Tanks were deployed at strategic locations in the city. People feared a bloodbath, yet after Friday prayers on February the 11th, millions of people poured into the streets of Cairo and other cities in Egypt. And while the roads to the presidential palace were blocked by tanks, when the military officers saw the massive waves of people coming towards them, they decided that it was best not to resist this, otherwise there is going to be a massacre and total carnage in Egypt. In Cairo, they started to march towards the television station as well as the presidential palace. Roads to the palace were blocked by tanks. There were fears that the army might open fire on demonstrators and perpetrate a massacre. It was at this point that the tank commanders realized that shooting unarmed civilians would lead to more chaos and carnage in the country. Instead, they turned their turrets and started moving their tanks toward the presidential palace alongside the people. It was at this point that the military high command realized there was no option but to tell Mubarak to go. Tantawi again went to see Mubarak, telling him to leave. True to form, Mubarak did not announce his own resignation. Instead, Suleiman went on television to say Mubarak had handed over power to the military council. Mubarak flew to his villa in Sharm el-Sheikh before the official announcement was made. The situation in Egypt, as in Tunisia, however, is far from settled. The military as well as the old guard of the Mubarak regime are still clinging to power. There have been rallies in support of the people of Tunisia, Egypt, Libya, Yemen, Bahrain, and other countries where people are staging uprisings. Right here in Toronto also, we have had many rallies that took place, in fact, almost every weekend. Is there a meaningful change in Egypt, or is it just a change of faces? To answer that question, we have to ask ourselves whether the system in Egypt has changed, whether the state of emergency that was imposed 30 years ago has been lifted, under which more than 30,000 people, according to some estimates, are still languishing in prisons without charges and without trial. Many of the old guards of the old regime are still there in Egypt.
Well, that's all the time we have for this week. We hope you found today's program very informative. Thanks again for watching Muslim Perspectives. And next week, at the same time and on the same channel, we hope you join us again. So from the Muslim Perspective team and myself, Wasim Mangash, Assalamu Alaikum.